So Matthew 24, we looked at last week. We're going to look at it a little bit again. We're going to look at chapter 25 also. But I want to get these two chapters dealt with. Not in great depth, but in some depth, so we can understand a little better when we're reading it, what we're looking at. Remember in Matthew chapter 24, we had talked about the fact that this was primarily pointed at the Jews, primarily pointed at Israel. And we know that. He's talking about the false prophets, talking about the abomination of desolation, talking about the fig tree, and we know all those things are connected to Israel. So, rightly dividing, we understand the end of the church age, the end of the Laodicean church, we're raptured out of here. Daniel's 70th week resumes, takes off, because we're in a time between Daniel's 69th and 70th week there, called the church age. But Daniel's 70th week takes off, and that's a week of years, so it's 7 years. And this is what we're looking at and dealing with, and we talked about the fact that you know, it said, pray that your flight not be not on the Sabbath. And we don't deal with the Sabbath. He's talking to the Jews when he's talking about the Sabbath. That was a sign for the Jews. The Sabbath was something between him and Israel. And also, verse 21, it says, for then shall be great tribulation. So that flight that he's talking about, they're going to have to run halfway through that 70th week. The Antichrist is going to turn full bore blown against Israel and try to wipe them out. And that's what he's telling them. He's telling them that then there will be great tribulation. We understand that we'll see tribulation and we suffer persecution and we go through things, but this is great tribulation. This is different. This is like the world has never seen. That's what the Bible talks about, tribulation like the world has never seen. And that's aimed toward Israel. God allows that to happen to get Israel to trust him and separate the wheat from the tares, kind of, you know, because the people that truly trust him are going to stick with him and not take the mark and not worship the beast. And other folks are going to be damned because they do take the mark and worship the beast. So, and again, we look at 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall coming of the Son of Man be. And he's talking about the Son of Man. Now, when he's talking about the Son of Man, he's talking about the physical part of Jesus that's connected to Israel, because he come through that bloodline of Israel. He's a Jew. His flesh was the Jewish descendancy. So when you're talking about Son of Man, Son of God saved our souls. Son of Man deals primarily with Israel. So almost every time you see the Son of Man come up, he's talking directly to Israel. Because Jesus Christ is all man, he's all God. Well, the man part is what Israel is focused on for their Messiah. They're looking for a man that comes down through the lineage of David. They're looking for a man that will rule and restore their kingdom. But they rejected him when he came the first time. So what did they have to point to him the first time? The law and the prophets. They didn't understand the law and the prophets. They were caught up in their own self-righteousness. And they didn't like the fact that Jesus Christ convicted them as religious leaders and made them feel guilty. So they rejected him, wanted to get rid of him. But Moses and Elijah come back in the tribulation, and they're witnessing. They're the law and the prophets. They're pointing to Jesus Christ again. And we see that many of the Jews will open their eyes and see the truth then. Let's see here. In verse 27 through 31, we talked about that. It talks about, people say, well, this all happened in 70 A.D. That 70th week was fulfilled in 70 A.D. But we talked about this last week. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So that's never happened. There's no historical evidence of any of that happening. So they say, well, that all happened in 70 AD. Okay, Well, what do you do with those verses? The Son of Man coming, because that's him coming back at the end of the tribulation, Battle of Armageddon, with power and great glory. So here he comes back, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, with great power. He's going to wipe out the devil's army, cast the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire, bind the devil for 1,000 years. And then the glory part is he's going to reign, or part of the glory part is he's going to reign for 1,000 years on this earth. So we can see that because of those verses, we know that these things are not things that happened in the past, right? They're not things that happened in the past. And again, we talked about, verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. So here's where it gets kind of, when he's talking to these Jewish disciples, where he's talking to the Jews, he's not directing it to an individual. He's directing a message to a nation, to individuals. So what he's telling them is when ye shall see all these things, he's talking about them as being part of Israel, but he's talking about that generation that sees these signs. And we can see we're getting closer and closer to that generation. And why did he leave it like that? Because nobody knows the day or the hour in that generation. He gives the signs. But when you start seeing these signs, that generation is not going to pass away before these things come to fruition. Sister Glenn, did you have a question? Yeah. Yeah. The things that happen in the tribulation, really most correctly looked at, in my opinion, is all those things are the ramping up of these birth pains to where you get a reborn Israel, a new regenerated Israel at the end. So, beginning of sorrows, there are all these things that are going to start building up to the Antichrist, full-blown Antichrist being against Israel. So, right now we're seeing a lot of stuff going on around the world and people want to plug this into the tribulation. But this is just, if you wanted to do that, you could go back to Babylon and say that plugs into the tribulation, because there was a lot of stuff going on then. You could say that Hitler was part of the tribulation. Well, these are all types, but this is nothing. They're going through tribulation, and they will continue to go through tribulation, but these sorrows are building up to great tribulation. And that great tribulation is that halfway through that 70th week is when it's on. The devil has full reign to do whatever he wants to do. And the only, the people's free will is what's going to give them the chance to make it or not. See, God's not a Calvinist. If they decide to follow the Lord, he'll protect them. If they decide to stick with the Lord and they get beheaded for it, he's going to bring them back with him anyway, right? But if they turn on the Lord and worship the beast and the false prophet, they worship the beast, take the mark of the beast, they're toast, they're done. Or eternal toast, right? But they'll bring damnation on themselves. The beginning of sorrows. Also, if you think about what happened, I'm having a rough night with my memory, so bear with me. Yeah, I'm mouthing off. Can't remember what my story was supposed to be, but I'm going with it. By the grace of God, the Lord gave me a wife that wouldn't smack me in the head, because if anybody needed smacked in the head, good night. That's why I did that to myself. I felt so sorry for her. I thought she deserved to see that, But anyway, when it talks about what happened with Herod and them and the babies, and you guys are going to have to help me out. Rebecca, who was the one that was mourning and she should not be, she refused to be comforted? Rebecca. So it's because, what they're going to do, they're going into a time of mourning a time of loss, they're going to see something that's going to make World War II look like a bad day at recess compared to what they're going to go through in the second part of that 70th week. So that's part of that beginning of sorrows building up to that. And I don't want to make light of what happened in World War II. I'm just saying it's going to be so much more intense. Yeah, by different means, too. Through the devil and through the plagues directly and all the different kinds of things. Also, we talked about the fact that these false prophets and false Christs arise, and they're going to do signs and wonders with an attempt to deceive the very elect. Remember, the signs and wonders are for the Jews, right? And we know that because we have a Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:22, I believe it is, for the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews started requiring signs back with Moses. Remember, Moses did the first signs, when the leprous hand, the rod turned into a serpent, and then all the signs he did in Egypt. But there's a reason, we talked about this a little bit last week, there's a reason that the devil, the Pharaoh's a type of the Antichrist, and his people were able to mimic some of those signs, but they had a limit on what they could do. And that's the way it's going to be in the tribulation. You're going to see these signs. We'll see them from up above. But they'll see these signs, and a lot of the Jews are going to go, wow, that's the Lord. A lot of them are going to remember Jannes and Jambres and how they could fake those signs and do those things too. But there's a limit on what the devil can do, but there's no limit other than what God puts on himself. Rachel, yes, I knew Rebecca wasn't right, but it was an R, Rachel. And that's something that 99% of the time I just throw out there, but I am one half cup low on coffee, I guess. So he also talks about they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. And when you're looking at the, it says the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. So the gospel of the kingdom has to do with the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to do with a spiritual kingdom, like we're part of the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. And then we get to chapter 25. I want to look at chapter 25. I don't want to get too far into these, because this is not an exhaustive study anyway. This is just trying to hit the most salient points for rightly dividing, to kind of give us a stepping stones through here to understand where we're at. But in 25, it starts talking about the virgins, the oil, the lamps, and the story of the 10 virgins is dealing with folks outside of the church age. We know that for a couple reasons. First of all, we just looked at 24, and 24 is talking about to Israel. 25 is talking to Israel, and the virgins and the oil, people say, well, it represents the church. Well, the church is never called virgins. It's the church is called a bride that's going to be presented as a chaste virgin, singular. These virgins, this is a parable, and you can only take a parable so far doctrinally, but it also talks about these virgins going to meet the bridegroom. It doesn't say they're going to marry the bridegroom. They're going to meet the bridegroom. I mean, he's marrying us. Israel doesn't belong to Jesus Christ that way. He's their King of Kings and Lord of Lords over their, you know, over Israel. But we belong to Jesus Christ that way. Some of the virgins had oil and some went to buy oil. So that appears to lend itself to faith and works, the buying of oil. We don't buy anything. Remember, I think it was Simon Peter said, thy money perish with thee, because they wanted to buy the Holy Spirit because they were watching what these apostles were doing. And was it Simon? I can't remember exactly who it was. They wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. He said, your money perish with thee. Because you can't buy the Holy Spirit. God's not for sale. The Holy Spirit's not for sale. So some of the virgins had oil and some went to buy. And again, in verse 13, you see it says, Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So there's the Son of Man again, so we know we're dealing with Israel. And the next parable starts at verse 14, mentioning the kingdom of heaven, Israel. And verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. So this 31 through 46 is dealing with the judgment of nations. So what's he doing? He's calling all the nations together, and he's judging the individuals of these nations about how they treated Israel. Because you've got to remember, when you get into the millennial kingdom, you've got different groups of people in the millennial kingdom. There are some people that just make it through the millennium, or through the tribulation. And they make it because they're kind of indifferent. They're not for or against anything. They kind of just get through. There are other people that God saves and brings through. And then there are people that are born in the millennium. Of course, there are people that come back with the Lord, us and some Jews and everything. But there are people that are born in the millennium. So you've got people in natural bodies that have not been born again in the millennium. And that's how the devil has a group to pick from at the end of the millennium to turn against God. So remember, there are going to be people just like there are today that are just indifferent. There are people out there right now that don't really, they don't really get upset with you if you talk about the Lord, but they won't have anything to do with the Lord. They're not interested in the Lord. And you can talk to them about the Lord and they say, oh, that's neat. That's good for you. It's going to be that same complacent, whatever, la-di-da, until they realize when they don't go to the Feast of Tabernacles and things, they're not going to get rain. They're going to have bad crop failure. Amen. So what? We know they're going under kind of a law-type setting. But see, we walk by faith, not by sight. But they're going to walk by sight because Jesus Christ is going to literally be on the throne of David. They'll be able to see, physically see him. So the Feast of the Tabernacles, why is that so important? Because that's when Christ tabernacles with the Jews. His body is on this earth. That's why I would say that it kind of looks like maybe we'll get out of here on the Passover and then he'll come back at the second coming, literally on this earth, Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. We could both be raptured out in the Feast of Tabernacles, and he could come back in the Feast of Tabernacles. But my guess, since it's about the blood was about the Passover. So I'm really, really, really surprised we're not here, out of here by now. But I'm willing to change to the Tabernacles because we're getting too far past the Passover time now. So I'm willing to accept Tabernacle Rapture. Amen. Are y'all ready for Tabernacle Rapture? If we go there. But so we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, talking about the Son of Man, talking about the judgment of nations. And remember, the judgment of nations, what's he doing? He's rewarding people according to how they dealt with the Jews in the tribulation. So there are going to be people that he, when he talks about, I was hungered and you fed me, and I was athirst and you gave me water, drink, and I was in prison. And they're going to say, when, Lord? And go, well, when you did it to the least of my brethren. So when the devil's getting these Jews cast into prison, and you got these people around the world that are going to visit them, you got people around the world that are taking them food and trying to help them out. There's a little widow woman take care of Elijah, right? I mean, you got all these things happening, and he'll be able to say to them, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." And then he'll say to some, "Hey, when I was hungry, basically you didn't do any of that stuff for me." And they go, when did we not do that for you? And they go, when you didn't do that for the least of my brethren. So he's judging them according to how they dealt with the Jews, the individual Jews. Right now, I believe he's judging this nation the way we deal with Israel. I don't think that the reason we got so far off of course morally and so corrupt morally and ethically is all because of corrupt politicians? I mean, there's always been corrupt politicians, but God has blessed this nation in spite of that because we've blessed Israel. And we've had politicians stabbing Israel in the back like crazy since when did Obama get in, 2008, something like that. I mean, he was not a friend of Israel's. Biden was talking out both sides of his mouth with Israel. I hope Trump doesn't do that. Doesn't look like he will, but you never know. But that's the thing. I believe this country's gone. The Lord's allowed this to go so far down. You say, well, how could they get away with this? How could they? I think the Lord just allowed that stuff as a chastening because we didn't stand up and say, hey. And half of Christianity, well, I don't know about half, but probably a significant percentage of quote-unquote saved people today will say, God's done with Israel and Israel's part of the problem. Well, God's not through with Israel. The problem is people don't respect the Lord or the Word of God anymore. And I'll bless him that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. So the judgment of nations is Christ rewarding people from all nations according to their dealings with the Jews in the tribulation time. That's basically all I wanted to deal with on that. But I wanted to cover some of 24 again because I'm going to give you a handout that's got a little 24 and 25 on it. And we're caught up on handouts going over them, right? I think so.